Today's daf is Nida daf Ayin Aleph. We are holding on daf Ayin Amud Beis. Last thing we mentioned yesterday, we're still in the middle of the 12 questions that the Anshei Alexandria posed to the Shnei Masar Dvarim Shaalu Anshei Alexandria, Rabbi Shua ben Chinna or Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. We had the Gimel Divrei Chachma, the three Halacha questions, and we also went through the Gimel Divrei Haggadah yesterday, the three Agadita questions. We mentioned we'll come back to one of them. The second of the Agadita questions was, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, Ki lo yisapanim v'lo yikach shochad, and on the other hand, the Pasuk says, Yisa Hashem panav elecha, so does Hashem show favoritism, or does he not show favoritism? So the Gemara answered, one is before the Gemara Din, one is li'achar the Gemara Din. Now there is a parallel sugya in Masech Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara says, Shala baluria hagiyah, Yores es Rabban Gamliel. This exact question was asked by Baluria Hagiyores to Rabban Gamliel, and the Rabban Gamliel answered that the chiluk is between Averos ben Adam l'makom and Averos ben Adam l'chavero. The Rabban Gamliel thought the difference is Hashem will show favoritism, will be more forgiving for Averos ben Adam l'makom, but Averos ben Adam l'chavero, Hashem is not going to be as quick to forgive. And Rabbi Akiva gives the answer that we have in our Gemara by Nida, our Gemara Nida, whether it's before the Gemara Din and the Acher the Gemara Din. Tosfos raises the following question, though. There is another sugya. That's just the sugya in Rosh Hashanah is clearly a parallel to our sugya. It gives the same answer, just adds an additional answer. But there is another Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chaf Amud Beis, where the Gemara Maseches Brachos says that the Malachi Ashareis asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu this exact question, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered that Klal Yisrael is medaktek in Birchas HaMazon to bench, even though the Torah says V'yachalto V'savato V'erachta, they only have to bench when you eat a kidei sviya, when you eat enough to satiate yourself, but Klal Yisrael is medaktek to bench Birchas HaMazon even when they eat kezayis, when they eat a kebetza. So he says, what, v'chi lo es upon him? Should I not show favoritism to them? They go out of their way to do to be specially good for me, so I'm going to do the same for them. Sounds like the chiluk is between Jews and Umas Ha'olam, that's the answer, that when it comes to the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, but when it comes to the Umas Ha'olam, that's where we say that Lo Yisa Panim V'Lo Yikach Shochad. So Frek tells us, why didn't the Gemara give that answer over here? And similarly, why didn't Rabbi Yeshua give that answer over there when give this answer over there? So the Tosfos suggests that the pasuk lo yisa panim has to be about both Jews and the umos haolam, and the umos but by the umos haolam it's before Gemara Din. By Yisrael, it's even Acher Gemara Din. But Yisrael, since even though it's Acher Gemara Din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes Lufnim Yishur Sadin Dafka for Klal Yisrael. So the two answers are actually complementary to each other, says Tosfos. The Iker answer is the Chiluk that we say over here. Before Gemara Din, after Gemara Din. It's just the Malachi Asharis ask, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not Yisa Panim to the Umos before Gemara Din like he is for Yisrael, the Acher Gemara Din? And that the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he does Lefnim Yishur HaSadin Dafka to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael themselves act Lefnim Yishur HaSadin. So that's one approach that Tosfos has. Tosfos Maseches Rosh Hashanah also raises this question, and Tosfos Maseches Rosh Hashanah says the chiluk is between the Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam, and over here, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that the emes is that are also for Klal Yisrael, like Rosh Baruch Hu's nosei panim, only before the Gzar Din, meaning that even for Klal Yisrael, it's not that Klal Yisrael still gets nesias panim after the Gzar Din, it's also only before the Gmar Din that it's for Klal Yisrael. And over here we're within Klal Yisrael. This Gemara is within dealing with Klal Yisrael, that the chiluk is between before Gemar Din and the Acher Gemar Din. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Ches, that same Gemara, adds another detail that does not appear in our Gemara, that for a tzibur, even the achar the gzar din, for a tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still yis upon him for a tzibur. That's the koach tzibur. So Sfasem is asked, so why didn't the Gemara just say yis Hashem panav is for a tzibur instead of making a chiluk between before Gemara din and after Gemara din? Let it say yis upon him is for a tzibur. So Sfasem says that the lashon elecha sounds like it's a yachid because it's a lashon yachid. Otherwise, it would be aleichem. So lashon elecha implies that we're talking about a yachid. Yis Hashem panav elecha. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Now we are holding at the first wide line on Daf Ayin Amud Beis, Shlosha Divrei Boros. So we said that there are three issues of Divrei Boros that these Anshe Alexandria ask. What is the definition of the term Divrei Boros? So Rashi says that it refers to Divrei Shtus, things that are silly, that are ridiculous. The Aruch Lener says that l'chora, what makes them shtus is that these things have no nafkamina. That these are issues that have no nafkamina l'halacha. They're asking these conceptual halacha questions that aren't going to make an ounce of difference in halacha as we practice it. And that's what makes it shtus. But the Aruch Lener says, l'chora, that's not exactly true. Because if you look at these questions, one of the questions was about ishto shalot, whether she's metame, the pillar of salt that Lot's wife turned into. Is that metame or is it not metame? And in the days of the Tanaim, they still had that pillar of salt that Lot's wife turned into. They knew exactly which one was Lot's wife. They knew exactly what it was. So they did have to discuss whether it was metame or not. How do we know that they had exactly what the pillar of salt was? So the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Dalet says that has a whole dion whether one who sees the pillar of salt that Lot's wife turned into should make a bracha, birchas haroa, when you see it. So obviously it was something that was nogei lemaisa to know its status of tumen tara. So that's why the Aruch Lener says that it's pashut that it's not mitame, and that's what makes it a dvar shtus. Not that it has no nafkamina alach lemaisa, but that the question's a ridiculous question. It's such an obvious answer to the question. That's what makes it divrei shtus. The Marsha says that these aren't divrei shtus because they have no nafkamina. They're divrei shtus because they're too philosophical sounding in nature. And things that sound too philosophical, says the Marsha, that the shem natu litos kedasa pilosofim, that we're afraid you're going to start to follow the deos of the philosophers, that these questions reflect a certain way of thinking. The Chacham Spitzal says boros is lashon of bor v'kever, meaning they're asking about not things that are ridiculous, lashon of a bor, a kever, that which is dug into the ground. They're asking about dead bodies. That's what it's shlosha divrei boros. These are normal, fine, regular halacha questions to ask. They just happen to be about dead bodies. So that's the divrei boros, says the Chachmas Bitzalel. So anyway, let's see the questions. Question number one, ishto shalot mausha tetame. Is the wife of Lot mitame as a mace? Samar lahem, mace mitame, vein nitziv melech mitame. So he said, no, a mace is mitame, and nitziv melech is not mitame. It's a totally, panim chadash l'spalachan, it's a totally different entity. She doesn't have any of the characteristics of a dead body, so she's not mitame. Question number two, ben shunamis ma'u sheyitame. What about the ben hashunamis? Is the ben hashunamis mitame? Rashi understands that we're asking, at once he already had tchias amesim and he already got up from the dead, is he still metame as a mace? After tchias amesim, because do we assume that once a person dies, so there is tumas mace, and that tumas mace doesn't just go away? So even after tchias amesim, they'll still have tuma, or do we assume no? Once he's alive, there's no longer any tumas mace. That's how Rashi understands. The Meiri quotes a yesh mefarshim that the shaila is if he was tame b'misasa, meaning what is it about misa that's metame? Is it the permanence of misa that's metame, or is it the state of misa that's metame? He was in a state of misa, but maybe since it was so temporary that he got up afterwards, that he had a tchias hamesim, maybe that's why it was. Maybe he should not be metame even in the state of misa. But anyway, Rashi understands, like we said before, that we're talking about after he gets up, the shaila whether he's metame. So Amalan, meis metame vein chai metame. The answer is a dead person is metame, a living person is not metame. The answer seems to fit Rashi's question a lot better. That we're asking when he's alive, is he metame? No, live people are metame, dead people are metame. If you say like that day on the Meiri, that the question is he metame while he's dead? So we're saying, yeah, dead people are metame. Live people aren't, but dead people aren't. As long as he's dead, he's metame. The achronim deal with the following question. The Radvaz actually has a tshuva about this, where someone asked the Radvaz, why is it that the Gemara only asks about the Ben Ashunamis? The Ben Ashunamis is not the only one on whom Tchiyas HaMesim was performed in Tanakh. There was the Ben Hatzarfis that Eliyahu Navi was Mechaya in Sefer Melachim Perek Yud Zayin. So why don't we ask about that? Why is it only about the Ben Ashunamis? So the Radvaz, again in the Tshuva in Chelek Vav, Beis Alafim Reish Gimel, it's quoted over here in the Maariz Chayos, this Radvaz, is mitaretz that the difference is that Shalom Meis Mamish, it never says Vayamos, it says Vayihi Chol Yo Chazak Asher Lo Nosra Bo Neshama, that his illness became so severe that the Neshama did not remain in him. But it never has that strong Lashon of Vayamos, of that he actually died. And therefore it's certain that he would not be Mitameh. We ask about the Ben Ashunamis, about whom it says that he actually died, that's a better question. If he actually died, so what's the halacha about him being Mitameh when he comes back to life, when he stands up again? That's how the Radvaz deals with it. The Radvaz also points out, based on the Rabbeinu Bechai, that the Ben Atzarfis was a guy, and therefore we only ask about the Ben Ashunamis, not about the child that Eliyahu HaNavi was Mechaya the Ben Atzarfis. The Radvaz just points out that that's a very difficult teretz, even though Rabbeinu Bechai suggested in Parshas Pinchas, very difficult teretz based on the Medrash, where the Medrash says that this Almana was the mother of Yonah ben Amitai. That's a Yerushalmi in Sukkah like that. That this child that Eliyahu HaNavi was Mechaya was in fact Yonah the Navi. And there's a lot of Torah that why it is that Yonah's life dafka came from Eliyahu HaNavi. That Eliyahu HaNavi was someone who at a certain point in his life became very frustrated with Klal Yisrael and was willing to curse them with a famine because he didn't think that Klal Yisrael he didn't hold out much hope for the righteousness of Klal Yisrael. Yonah, on the other hand, did whatever he could to defend Klal Yisrael, meaning he didn't even want to give Musr to the Goyim, to the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to give Musr to, because he was afraid if they listen right away, it's going to look bad for Klal Yisrael. He goes out of his way to try to make things as good for Klal Yisrael as possible, and he even sacrifices his own mission of Nevuah for that sake. So he refuses to go to Nineveh, Dafka, for that reason. But anyway, if this Medrash is true, that it was Yonah, so then hard to say that it was a guy. Yonah wasn't a guy, Yonah was a Jewish Navi. So that's Radvaz points out, he's not so happy with that approach. The Tzlach and the Aruch Lener say that the Ben Hatzarfis was Mashiach ben Yosef, and tzaddikim are eino mitamim. So since it was a tzaddik, so that's why there would be no tumah to begin with, even when he's dead. Tzaddikim are not mitameh. So that itself is an interesting discussion, whether that's true, that tzaddikim are not mitameh. I mean, to what extent do we assume that would be true la halacha, and to what extent do we assume that it's a nice dvar agada that tzaddikim are not mitameh, but really they are mitameh. The Medrash in Mishlei tells us that right after Rabbi Akiva was murdered with the iron combs, we just read about the Asar Arugei Malchus on Tisha B'Av, Eliyahu HaNavi came to bury Rabbi Akiva, and Eliyahu HaNavi carried Rabbi Akiva's body on his shoulders, and Rabbi Yeshua, one of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, followed along, and somewhere along the way, Rabbi Shua asked Eliyahu, how is it mutter for you to carry Rabbi Akiva's body if in fact you're a Kohen? Eliyahu Navi is a Kohen. So Eliyahu said, there's no problem of Tumah, Talmid Chachamim, and the Chacham v'Talmidehem are not Mitame. So the implication is that Eliyahu Navi was willing to rely on that, about being Mitame. The Gemara in Ksuba, Staf Kuf Gimel, tells us that when Rebbe died, that Batla Kedusha, we no longer have Kedusha in this world once Rebbe died. So a lot of the Rishonim assume that the references to Kedusha is to Kedusha's Kuhuna. Many Kohanim were personally involved in the burial of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So at least it seems to imply that a Kohen is allowed to become Tamei to a Nasi. Maybe the same might be true for another Tzaddik. So there are sources that indicate that maybe a Tzaddik would be different. However, there are also sources to indicate that a tzaddik would not be different, that a tzaddik would also be metameh. Gemara in Sukkah says, in Daf Chafeim Beis, that people who approached Moshe Rabbeinu about making up for a Korban Pesach that was missed due to Tumas Meis, who were these people? What were they tameh because of? So the Gemara says, Nosei Aron Shel Yosef. They were the ones that were carrying the Aron of Yosef HaTzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik obviously was a tzaddik, and nevertheless, apparently, they were tameh from dealing with Yosef HaTzaddik. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Nuches, tells us Rabbi Benaa marked off the graves of the Avos. And all the Rishonim over there say that the Rabbi Benaa marked off the graves to alert Kohanim to the presence of Tumah by the graves of the Avos. The Avos, Mestama, were Tzaddikim, and yet apparently they were Metame. Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Lamites says the conversation takes place between a Min and Rabbi Avo. The Min asks Rabbi Avo, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Metar himself after burying Moshe Rabbeinu? Pasuk says, V'yichuli truma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen. He says, V'yichuli truma. So Rabbi Avohu says that instead of using water, Hashem is Tovel himself in fire. So Tosos wonders, why didn't the Min ask how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowed to bury Moshe in the first place if he was a Kohen? After all, it's Metame. So Tosos explains that since the Jews are Banim Lamakom, the Jewish people are considered Banim Lamakom, so it's no problem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Metame. Why didn't Tosos answer? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik. Apparently, there is this another indication that tzaddikim would be metameh. So again, that issue is not abundantly clear. It's a number of approaches in the Achronim how literally to take that issue. But anyway, that's how the Tzlach and the Aruch Haner want to suggest that maybe it's based on the fact that tzaddikim are not metameh. So if that child in fact was Mashiach ben Yosef, so then certainly it's a better question about the Ben Hashunamis. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Third question that they asked relating to Divrei Borus. The dead bodies that are going to rise again by Tchias HaMesim, are they going to require Hazar Shlishi Yishvi, the ashes of the Parah Aduma, to be Matar themselves or not? Says, you know what? When they come back alive, we'll have to deal with that shiloh. That will be a difficult shiloh. We'll deal with it. So Yigda Amri, l'kshiyava Moshe Rabbeinu imahem. And others say, no, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back with them, meaning, why would I paskin that shaila? When there's Tchias HaMesim, you know who else is going to come back? A really big Talmud Chacham, who's probably more capable of paskin that shaila than we are. Moshe Rabbeinu, so let him deal with that shaila. Why should we deal with such a shaila? Very interesting, the Chassam Sofer is bothered. In the Tshuva in Yerodesh, Simon Shun Lamed Zayin, we never have that Moshe Rabbeinu will come back and paskin the shaila. We always say, Teku, Tishbi Yitaritz Kushios V'Bayos, that Eliyahu HaNavi will come back and paskin all of the shailas. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back and paskin all of the shailas. That's also a question. Why do we always say Teku? Achiyavo Eliyahu, Yemunach Achiyavo Eliyahu. Why not Achiyavo Moshe Rabbeinu and is able to paskin? Why not Meku, Moshe Yitaritz Kushios V'Bayos? So it's one of my Chavrus' favorite parts in the introduction to Eima Banim Smecha. Rav Teichtal writes that the reason it's Teku is because Eliyahu HaNavi's low mace, that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Eliyahu Navi never died. And one of the qualifications you need to pask in the Shaila is to be familiar with the unique situation of those who are asking the Shaila. If you are not alive in that generation, then you're not qualified to pask in the Shaila for that generation. Things change based on the generation, based on the people. You have to understand what makes people tick, what the social implications are. You have to understand a lot. You have to get the full picture to pask in the Shaila. Since Eliyahu Navi is Lomais, it's Eliyahu Navi who's capable of paskening all of the shilos of the day. San Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously that's Rav Techtal discussing in terms of his major shift in his attitude toward Zionism, toward establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, was that he felt that he struggled with it a lot because he was a chassid. And a chassid, one thing a chassid does is he does not question the rebbes, especially the alter rebbes. So he said, they were all anti-Zionists. How could I change and become a Zionist? Said they weren't alive in this generation. All the people that they were from previous generations, and that was the right thing to do at that time. But now in our generation, when Europe is burning, when he saw the Holocaust getting underway, he was writing this during the Holocaust. So he said, now we have to sing a different tune. We have to react to what's going on in our generation. So anyway, that's so the Chasam Sofer is bothered. Why is it L'chshiyavo Moshe Rabbeinu over here? So Chasam Sofer explains that you already had in his time, he already dealt with the Shaila, meaning there's precedent. One of the other important factors in paskening halacha is looking at precedent. Have we ever dealt with this Shaila or a similar Shaila like this before? Moshe Rabbeinu had this exact Shaila. And Matan Torah, Yatza Nishmasam, the Nishamos of Klal Yisrael all left them. And then there was a Tchias HaMesim. So Moshe Rabbeinu, that was one of the first Shailas Moshe Rabbeinu had to deal with after Matan Torah. Is, well, everyone was just dead. Now they're back to life. Is there Tuma? What do we do? So Moshe Rabbeinu had to deal with it. So Moshe Mustama will know how to deal with it again when there's Tchias HaMesim next time around. Says Gemara, Shlosha Divrei Derech Eretz. They also ask three issues of Derech Eretz. Number one, Ma Yasa Adam V'yechkam. First issue of Derech Eretz, what should a person do if he wants to become wise? Amar lehen, Yarba V'yeshiva V'yemayit B'schora. A lot of yeshiva, not so much business. Amru Harbe also came to Lahoy lehem. So a lot of people tried that. It didn't work out so well for them. Eli Yivakshu Rachem Mimisha Chachma Shalo Shenemar Ki Hashem Yitin Chachma Mipiv Dasu Tvuna. That you have to daven for Chachma also. That not only do you have to study and you have to spend a lot of time in Beis Medrash, you have to daven for Chachma also. Tan Rebbe Chiya Mashal Melech Masvadam Shasa Suda LaAvadav. It's like a Melech who makes a Suda for his Avadim Umeshager LaAv of Mimashal Lefanav. And he provides for his for those who he likes from what he has in front of him. So Micah Mashmalan, the Habaloha Lo Sagis. What's this teaching me? That you need both. That it's important to have a balance of tefillah and dedication to studying Chachma. And then a person will become wise when you have both. Second question of Derech Eretz that they asked, Mayasa Adam Yis Asher. What should a person do if he wants to become wealthy? So Amar Lahen, Yarbe Bischora, do a lot of business. The Yisav Yitin Be'emuna. But you should be honest in your business the entire time with all the business that you do. Ben Yoyada says it doesn't mean not to steal, because that's obvious, not to steal. It means Yisav Yitin Be'emuna, She'yamin Shakol Ba Me'ito Yisbarach V'lo Kocha V'otzem Yado. Be'emuna means that you should trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately the one that provides you Parnassa, and that it doesn't come from anywhere else. So if you trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that provides you Parnassa, so then that Pitach will be rewarded with Ashirus. Ashirus may be defined over here as Ezu Asher Samech B'chelko kind of Ashirus. You'll be much more content with what you have when you realize that it has nothing to do with you, that it has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for you to have. So if you know that you have the chelek that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for you to have, you'll be much more content with that chelek. So Amrulo, Harbi Yasu Ken Vlo Ilu. Said, well, a lot of people tried that trick and it didn't work. Eli Vakesh Racham Misha Osher Shalosh. Remember, Liyah Kesav V'Liyazav. You have to dive into the one who's in charge of all the money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Liyah Kesav V'Liyazav. Maika Mashmalan, Tahabaloha Lo Sagi. Again, both. You need to, if you want to make money, you do need to work for a living. You need to be honest in business. and you have to daven. Davening is also important. It's always daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should provide. Third issue, Mayasa Adam Yulo Barim Zucharim. What should a person do if they want male offspring? Sam Lahem, Yisa Isha Genaslo, should marry the appropriate woman, the Kadesh Atzma Bishas Tashmish, and he should be Makadesh himself during Tashmish Hamita. Amru Harbe also came to Lo Ilu. A lot of people married wonderful women that were perfect for them, and they were Makadesh themselves Bishas Tashmish, and it didn't work. They end up with all girls. So rather you should dive into the one who's in charge of children, who's in charge of deciding whether it's a boy or a girl. So what's the added benefit of this? To tell you again that you need to do both, that one without the other is not enough. Why are banim referred to as the schar priya baten, the schar of the fruits of the belly? So I'm Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, meaning after all, girls also come from the belly, right? So why is it dafka the banim or schar priya baten? And also we never refer to it as beten, we'd refer to it as the rechem, where children come from. So why is it schar priya baten? So I'm Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, b'schar shemash natzman b'beten, the Gemara we mentioned earlier that in the schar of a man being patient b'shas tashmish to wait for his wife to be mazria first and to make it to have his focus on not just satisfying his own urges but to see to it that his wife is satisfied and to have that sort of patience, that schar by being masha atzmo bibeten over his wife's beten, that is that in that schar he has he gets schar priya baten. He gets the banim zacharim. So that's why the banim zacharim are referred to as the schar priya baten. The previously the Gemara said yikadesh atzmo b'shas tashmish, and Rashi said that meant l'shamish b'tznius. L'chora, that's not in the pasuk of schar priya baten. Schar priya baten is merames to patience, not to tznius. Those are those seem to be two entirely different issues. The Aruch Lener though fuses the two. He says Masha Atzmo Mekadesh Atzmo is Mima'it Havaso, that itself is called Tznius. Meaning when a person is patient, it means he's controlling his Taivos, that he has the willpower to be able to control his Taivos, and that control of the Taivos, that itself is Tznius. Okay, says Gemara Vayter now. Beishame Amrim. So we're done now with all the 12 questions that the Anshei Alexandria asked. Now we're on to the next issue that the Mishnah discussed. So the Mishnah on Samach Tesam Beis had said that Beishame Amrim, that Kol Anashim Mesos Nidos, that all dead women are considered to have the status of Tumas Nida, and Beis Hillel said no, only if they died while they are in Nida do they have the status of Tumas Nida. So says the Gemara, Beishami Omrim, Maitamed Beishami, why does Beishami think that all women when they die have the status of Nida? If you're going to say it's based on the pasuk that says Vatischalchal Hamalka, Vamarav Malamit Shapir, so Nida teaches us that Esther became a Nida at that time. But why? Because she was afraid, and apparently a negative emotion like fear can bring about Nida. So Achanami Agav Biyasus Demalach Demovsa Chazia. Maybe you want to suggest that the same is true over here when a woman dies. That right the moment before she dies, the moment before anybody dies, they see the Malach Hamavas, and that's a frightening moment, and maybe that fear causes her to become a Nida at the time of death. So maybe that's the reason for Beis Shammai, why every dead woman is considered a Nida. Well, no, va'anantran shecharada misalekes es adamim. But we learned that fear has the opposite impact on dam nidos, that fear makes the blood go away. Not that it causes a woman to become a Nida, it causes a woman not to become a Nida. So that can't be the reasoning of Beis Shammai. Says Gemara, yes it can. Halo kasha. There are two types of fear. There's fear of worry and concern that over here the pachad that a woman has, let's say of enemy soldiers coming into town, things like that, and then Rashas Vesas comes, so we assume that's misalek the damim, that will cause her not to become a nida. But then there's fear of sudden fear, bahala, that something happens in a moment, and seeing the Malach HaMavis, where it's a moment of terror, so a moment of terror will cause her to become a Nida. So two types of fear, one might take away Dam Nida, one might make her a Nida. So says Gemara, Elohad Tanan B'Shami Omrim, Kol HaNashim Mesim Zavin. Now the problem with this approach is that B'Shami doesn't only hold that women who die have a status of a Nida, he holds that men who die have a status of a Zav. If the reason that women who die have a status of a Nida is because that we assume that Dam came out as a result of the fear of the Malach HaMavis, well then probably when B'Shami says men who die have the status of Zav, is that he assumes that as a result of the fear of the Malach HaMavis, they became a Zav. There's only one problem. If a person has a flow come out of his body, a man has a flow come out of his body, as a result of fear, as a result of anything that he sees, any sort of onus, well, it's not metame. He does not have the status of a Zav. And the Malach HaMavis, the fear of Malach HaMavis should be included in that category. Beisilom reigns Zav el Misha Meisav. Beisil says, no, you know, not everyone who dies has the status of a Zav. So how could B'Shamai say that the dead man who saw the Malach HaMavis right before he died, that fear caused him to become a Zav? We paskin that it's me B'Sarov V'lo Machmason, so that if the Re'iyah comes about as a result of some onus, like seeing something scary, he will not be Tamei at all. So we have to come up with another pshat for why B'Shamai holds that every dead woman has the status of Tumas Nida. So says the Gemara, Ella time of the Beishamai Kidatanya. The reasoning for Beishamai is based on the following brisa. Barishono he matbilim kelim al gabi nidos mesos. It used to be that when nidos would die, there would be matbil all the kelim, all the clothing, and everything else that she was in contact with, because she was tamei as a nida, and vayu nidos chayos mispaishos, and it caused great busha for the surviving nidos. Why did it cause busha? So Rashi explains, shafil b'misasin heimishunim mikol adam. It was bad enough for them that during their lifetime they had to be embarrassed from everybody, that they were different than everybody else. They used to wear big day nidos, they used to wear special clothing during the time that they were nida, because that people had to be careful to keep taros away from them. So that was bad enough that even when they're dead, they have to be treated differently. So that they found very embarrassing. So they made a takana that they were going to be matbil for all women for the kavod of nidos chayos, for the kavod of the living nidos. And similarly, people who would die as a zav, men who would die while they were betuma ziva, they would be matbil all the kalim, and those surviving zavim were embarrassed by that they were treated differently even when they were dead. So this is a din d'rabbanan. It's a din d'rabbanan that we treat all dead women like a nida, dead men like a zav, according to Beis Shammai, because it's simply not to embarrass those who are still alive, who may be a nida or maybe a zav. It struck me when I was learning this Gemara, there is a very well-known tshuva of Moshe has in Ilchus Nida, relating to Ilchus Nida, where someone asked of Moshe, if you're in a public place together with your wife, and people are going to notice if you're keeping all of the harchakos, and she's going to be very embarrassed by that. She's going to be embarrassed when people realize that you're not passing anything to each other. So is there any way to be makel on some of the harchakos? Maybe to pass something to each other, at least, that other people won't notice that she's a nida. And Rav Moshe's response is very strongly negative toward any sort of kulas in this regard. Rav Moshe says, I don't understand, and the way he phrases it, though, is he says, I don't understand what you'd be embarrassed about. Why would she be embarrassed? Is she embarrassed that she's a healthy young woman? Healthy young women can become a nida. So that's nothing to be embarrassed about. Or is she embarrassed that she observes the halacha? Chas v'shalom, you should never be embarrassed about anything like that. There's absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about. So I remember Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger said that he once heard from Talmud Chacham much greater than himself that if a woman is embarrassed, that there's room to be makel dafka on this harchaka of passing, because it's a minhag Rashi, it's not from the Gemara, so maybe we could be a little more makel b'makom busha on this dafka, this harchaka. It took me a while while to track down who he was quoting, because in every sefer I saw, they say like Rav Moshe, very strong against it. So in fact, so one of my chaverim was very close to Rav Moshe Sternbach, and he said, I heard there's a rabbi in YU that's going around saying that that you can be makel on this. That's why it's terrible and it's treif and it's this. You know, how could you be makel on something like this? So, but I tracked out who it was. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein apparently is makel on this issue. So I was always. The Rav Moshe's approach, la halacha, you know, I would certainly 100% accept. Never, I would never be makel on this. But the way he responds, I found very interesting. Why would you be embarrassed? What do you mean? Is he denying that women are sometimes embarrassed when other people know that they're anida? It seems that this Gemara assumes that they're embarrassed. Meaning they're embarrassed. The way Rashi says it, bad enough that during my lifetime I have to be singled out. Just being singled out is different. Is embarrassing. That's the embarrassing part. Not that it's not that she's embarrassed that she observes the halacha. It's not that she's embarrassed that she's healthy. Being singled out, being treated differently, is the embarrassing part. Okay. Anyway, that's just what came to mind when I saw this. Mm-hmm. Says the Mishnah: He isha shemesa v'yatzim men revias dam metam mishum kesev metama ba'ol. A woman who dies and revias dam comes out of her body. It's metame mishum kesem. It's metame as a kesem, and it's metame ba'ol because it's revias dam in a mace. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Metame Mishum Kesem, Neshen Nekar Mishem Mesa. He says, not Metame Mishum Kesem, meaning we don't treat it like Dam Nida, because it came out after she already died. Dead women can't become a Nida. It's too late for them to become a Nida. Umod Rabbi Yehuda B'Yosheves Al Mashper, Umesa V'yatzim Men Revias Dam, Shem Metame Mishum Kesem. But he's modded that if she was in childbirth, and she dies in childbirth, and Revias Dam comes out, that then it would be Metame Mishum Kesem. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Lefichach Eina Metame Ba'ohel. Therefore, it's not Metame Ba'ohel, it's not viewed as Dam in a Mace. Says Gemara, Mechlal de Tanakama Sover, Apagav de Nekar Dam Mishum Mesem, Metame Mishum Kesem. The fact that Rabbi Yudah says, nah, it can't be Metame Mishum Kesem because it came out after she died, implies that the Tanakama holds that even if it came out before she died, it still has a din of Tumas Nidav, Tumas Kesem. Why? Why does that make any sense? Everyone should agree dead people can't become nidos. They're arguing about makar makomo tame, that since the dam comes from the makar, so maybe that alone makes a tame already mechaim. So because of mechaim was already in the makar, so that's the issue. Rashi holds that dam tame once it's naga b'makar, it's going to be tame b'shas yitziyaso. It's going to be tame. Tosos holds no, even be yitziyaso, it's only maga beis hastarin, so it shouldn't be. The maga shouldn't do it. Plus, sheer for dam latum is a revius. So why would even a lesser amount be metame if it's all about tumas maga? And also, Tosa Rosh points out, if it's only about tumas maga, it should say it's a rishon latumah, not an avatumah, because it becomes tame from the makar. So Tosa says, no, it's halacha l'moshe misinai, that it's tame b'yitziyaso as an avatumah, not mitam negia, but anything that comes from that tumah place of the makar is going to be tame as an avatuma. Fine. Umoda Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah then went on to say that Rabbi Yehuda himself is moda that when she's in labor, it's different. So Mechal Tanakama Sover Ba'ol Nami Mitame. That implies that Tanakama would hold that it's even Mitame Ba'ol, even the blood that comes out in labor. So they would have a din of Dam in a mace. So Rabbi Yehuda Dam Tavusa Kibinai. The argument is about Dam Tavusa. Titania Ezu Dam Tavusa. What is Dam Tavusa? So Pirusha Rablazab Rabbi Yehuda. Haruk Sheyatzim Menu Dam Bein Bechayev Bein Bemoso. Someone who was killed, whose some blood came out while he was alive, and more came out while he was dead. Safik Bechayev Yatza, Safik Bemoso Yatza, Safik Bechayev Ubemoso. We don't know if it came out while he was alive, while he was dead, or both. Zeu Dam Tavusa. So we're not sure. Is this Dam in a Chai? Is it Dam in a Mace? That's the definition of Dam Tavusa. The Chum Mom Rimber Shasiyachit Svekotam Rish Sam Svekotar. The Chum would say, well, if it's in Rosh Hashiyachit, it's Safik Tum Rosh Hashiyachit would be Tame. If it's Rosh Hashiyachit, Safik Tum Rosh Hashiyachit would be Tahar. Eleezu Dam Tavusa. What is Dam Tavusa? Haruk Sheyatzim Men Revias, second approach to the definition of Dam Tavusa. Haruk Sheyatzim Men Revias Dam Bechayav Ubimoso. Va'adayin lo pasak. someone who was killed, that dam came out, or Revi's dam came out, both while he was alive and while he was dead, and it didn't stop. It was one continuous flow. It's not that some came out while he was alive, stopped, and then more came out while he was dead. It was one continuous flow. Safek ruba b'chayev u'miyuto b'moso. Safek miyuto b'chayev ruba b'moso. Zel dam tfusa. It's a question where the majority was. Because whatever the majority is, the rest would be batel in the majority. So whatever the majority was. So we just don't know. Right? That's the definition of dam tevusa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harug sheyatsa mimenu revi'is dam, vayimutal b'mita, v'damo metaftef leguma, tameh mibnei shatipa shal misimu revispo. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have a person who was killed, that a revi'is dam came out of him, and he was lying on a bed, and the blood was dripping into a hole under the bed, it's tameh, because the tipa shal misa is somewhere in that hole. The tipa shal misa is somewhere in that mixture. And the Chum would say, no, it's tahar because it's not flowing straight out as one continuous flow. It's going drop by drop. And therefore, even if the rov was liachar misa, each drop that comes out becomes batel in the dam that was there from before misa. So that's why it's going to be batel. So that's why it's not going to be tameh. Frankly, Gemara Shapir Kamilei Rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanon seem to have a very good taina to Rabbi Yehuda that it should be batel. We should say rishon batel. Says Gemara Rabbi Yehuda tameh. Damar ein dam mevatel dam. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso that min b'mino is not batel. That dam cannot be mevatel other dam. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon gives another case. Salavala eitz. Someone who's hanging on a tree, shadamu shosis laretz, that his blood is dripping onto the ground, v'nimtza tachtav revi'is dam, tameh. And you find the revi'is dam underneath him, that dam is tameh. Rabbi Yehuda metayer, shani omer tipa shal misa omedes lal gave eitz. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's tar, because the drop that was the tipa shal misa may still be stuck on the tree. Frankly, Gemara Rabbi Yehuda neima ilu nafshe, shani omer tipa shal misa omedes lal gave mita. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda say the same thing when it came to the guy that was on the bed? He didn't say that the tipa shal misa is still on the bed, and that we should say that the dam underneath the bed is tar. Only by the eitz, the tipa shal misa is still on the eitz. Shiny b'mita d'mechalchala. No, by the bed we assume that it's different because the bed we assume will all drip straight off the bed, whereas the eitz we assume it's still going to catch some of the dam. Now this concept of dam ein dam evatel dam. This is part of a much broader concept that Rabbi Yehuda holds that min b'mino is eino batel. I think we've pointed out in the past there is a well known ran in Maseches Nedarim and Daf Nun Beis, a very important ran where the ran tries to explain the svara for the idea that a davar sheyesh lo matirin cannot become batel, that something that's asr now but will become mutter cannot become batel. And the Ran uses the concept of Rabbi Yehuda of min b'mino ein batel to explain it. What does min b'mino ein batel mean? Says the Ran, in order to have bittel, you need a clash between two different things. You have things that have opposite qualities that clash with each other, and the majority overwhelms the minority. The characteristics of the majority overwhelm the minority. But when you take two like things and put them together, there's no clash, there's no overwhelming. Adarabha, each one enhances the other. If I add more chicken soup to my chicken soup, so it just tastes more like chicken soup. It doesn't taste less like chicken soup. If I add milk to the chicken soup, so if there's a large majority of chicken soup to the milk, it will overwhelm the flavor of the milk. That's the concept of min b'mino. So says the Ran, the same is true by davar sheyesh, just like it's true on a physical level, it's true on a halachic level also. That when it comes to the halacha, something that's mutter can overwhelm something that's aser, and the halachic mutter characteristics can be mevatel the aser characteristics. And similarly, he says, something that one day will become mutter has mutter characteristics. Memela, it's not going to be able to become batel, but in something else that's mutter, because they're two like kinds. It's a halachic min b'mino. That's what I was reminded of when we think of that sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, of min b'mino in a batel. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll pick up from the top Mishnah on Amud Beis tomorrow. Again, we're falling behind on purpose so that we could have enough to say on Thursday.